A Benson Diary by John Murphy. And it starts with a poem by A.E. Houseman from A Shropshire Lad, read by Linda.
Whether in the woodland brown I heard the beech nut rustle down, and saw the purple crocus pale flower about the autumn dale, or littering far the fields of May, lady smocks a bleaching lay, and like a skylit water stood the bluebells in the azured wood.
With Easter came a sudden flush of summer's heat, and it stirred nature to dress her spring collection. Rape fields, bright in yellow glory, frame many walks around the village. Lilac too has come suddenly to wear her scented crown. The pear blossom is as quickly gone, but apple blossom has come in her sweet pale grace. Mention of apple blossom reminds me of my mum's favourite perfume by Helena Rubinstein. Blossoms confetti are scattered all around our villages, witnessing to spring's happy nuptials that have hitched her wagon to the wheels of Apollo's golden chariot. Even in Benson's heart, by the parade of shops, white blossom coats the pavements. By the marina, as sun sets over the untroubled waters of the Thames, all is caught in rapture of the moment, accompanied by birdsong, the majestic glory of an orange sky painted by the flaming fingers of the setting sun. And then the tiny buds of leaf, tinier than pillows in Titania's bower, burst forth into a symphony of many, many greens, shrubs and trees, beech and oak, in thicket, weald or copse, along woodland walks and even by the edge of busy roadsides. I've watched with some fascination the fig tree in our garden coming into leaf, in its own small way as remarkable as any grander display. Our many hydrangeas too are now in leaf. I've been carefully nourishing them with coffee grounds, to which I'm told they're particularly partial. And so, with so many signs of spring's imminence, it had to be I made my annual first pilgrimage to the woods overlooking Swincombe. It was one of those cooler days we recently had, with spits and spots of rain from time to time, and a cool breeze that made one glad of an overcoat. Yet the sky was mainly blue, and the year's young sun strong. I knew this perfect combination promised its own perfection. 10 years now I've trod the path through this woodland, down towards the hilltop overlooking St. Botolph's below. Constable might have caught this view in grand style in oils, or even Wordsworth might have found words to immortalise it, had he but stumbled into this vista one April afternoon, long past. We parked by the footpath sign. The dogs were already pretty much overwrought by the expectation and anxious to be out and off the leash. And so we let them go, dancing into the woodland as if beguiled by some spirits of the glade to relive their puppy days. There are bluebells about at first in dainty clumps and then more widely spread beneath the beech trees. Shimmering in the speckled sunlight they've already made, magic ponds of delicate blue-grey set in that distinctive bright green, strap-shaped foliage. They stand in such a contrast to the dull brown surrounds of the woodland floor. These, however, are merely the hors d'oeuvre. The woodland path winds away from the hilltop and back through the trees where more clumps appear, and some single harebells have run wild until the pathway reaches an open avenue. Here deer are stalked, and in the trees hides abound where shooters might take full advantage of the glut of birds, the beaters run their way. Here again that breathtaking grand vista overlooking Swincombe below that spreads beyond to the breathless mantle of the Thames Valley, edged as it is by the Ridgeway and the Whitnam clumps. It brings a lump to the throat and words simply fail to do it justice. This is a precursor to a greater failure of words as one turns one's back on this staggering view to behold carpets of bluebells running in every direction, a lake of turquoise blue shimmering within the woodland, and banks of cerulean strung along each side of the entire length of this man-made avenue. Every year I marvel at the sight. Every year I'm grateful I still have sight to see. What is more remarkable to this part of the world than bluebells in their effulgence? What sapphire set in regal crown can outdo bluebells in the sunlight of their brief lives? It is joy without equal, a sight for sore eyes, a balm for heavy hearts, a tear of joy to soothe tears of loss to which every life and every time is heir. Over these years, the sweet-scented English bluebells have spread far and wide and seem to be boundless in their ambitions. Boundless ambitions are the byword for these times of ours. For many these days, the delicate hope of spring sunshine simply illuminates a manuscript of malevolence that tells a darker tale. The sweet narcissus has given way to belligerent narcissism. The values of the world are replete in this year with menace and foreboding. Presently, it seems, we stand by, powerless, observers, unable to shape these boundless ambitions of others to make war and rather helpless victims of its myriad harms. Yet there is always hope, and it comes most often from unexpected places. Hungary, having been among the first to set off on this strange adventure into the netherworld of dictatorship's intolerance, has now decisively turned its back upon it. And this will matter to the world and to the people of Ukraine, some of whom are still refugees hereabouts, refugees from the war unleashed upon them by President Putin, another autocrat for whose cold ambitions his fellow countrymen must die. Hungary's return comes as hopefully as that dove returning with a green olive leaf to Noah's Ark. I hope the world sees its chance to turn back too. And he ends with another rhyme, another poem by A. Houseman.
I see in many an eye that measures me the mortal sickness of a mind too unhappy to be kind. Undone with misery, all they can is to hate their fellow man. Until they drop, they needs must still look at you and wish you ill.